Views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
Hello, my darlings, and welcome back to Radio Wasteland, the best in paranormal talk radio. I'm your host, Chauncey Hallworth, and this is my co-host, Kara Kittrick.
Hello.
Kara, do you have any news for us this evening?
I certainly do. So it was a slow week in UFO news, but Canadians saw UFOs at a rate of 3 per day in 2017, according to a report by ufologist Christopher Rutkowski. The organization he belongs to, Ufology Research, which researches ufology, has been collecting Canadian UFO reporting data since 1989. And most of the sightings came from Quebec and Ontario, with British Columbia a distant third. In conspiracy news, YouTube announced one day ago that it will no longer promote conspiracy videos in its recommended videos for users. Examples offered by the company include, quote, promoting a phony medical miracle cure for a serious illness, claiming that the Earth is flat, or making blatantly false claims about historic events like 9/11. Admittedly, three things I can't stand, but the full scope of this policy remains unknown. These videos will remain available to watch, but YouTube won't help users find them. And also, Internet theorists are insisting that Ruth Bader Ginsburg is actually dead and has been replaced by a lookalike. A Washington Post reporter who covered her first public appearance since her cancer surgery in December reports receiving a huge volume of accusatory mail asking probing questions about her appearance and intimating that he may be in on a cover-up. The conspiracy theory originated from an anonymous user on a conspiracy message board, but was picked up by right-wing bloggers and pundits, including Sebastian Gorka, former advisor to President Trump and far-right activist. Listeners are advised that friends and loved ones may have also been replaced by body doubles to cover up their deaths, and you should trust no one. Even small changes in gait, appearance, or behavior could be a sign that a relative has been replaced. Experts advise quizzing potential body doubles on past events before divulging any personal information. Back to you, Chauncey.
Okay, the Ruth Bader Ginsburg lookalike. You know, this makes me think of a couple of things. For one, she's a fairly unique-looking woman. Good luck finding somebody in her
right.
age bracket to replace her that is going to be some super healthy person to...
You can do anything
replace
with makeup
with the,
these
with
days.
The liberal agenda. So, yeah, it might be Gary Oldman. In it, you know? It might be Dustin Hoffman or one
you know,
just a great character actor.
Little plastic surgery, a little makeup.
Right.
You know.
Might be the who's the effects guy they always hire. He's in Star Trek Discovery, and he was also Abraham Sapien in Hellboy.
Mm-hmm.
I forget his name, but he's like the guy, the go-to guy.
Like Andy Serkis?
Oh, yeah, maybe him too. Maybe Andy Serkis. Yeah, also...
Andy Serkis is Ruth Bader Ginsburg. Oh, apologies to Ruth Bader Ginsburg and Andy Serkis, actually.
Yeah, totally.
Apologies to both of them.
And then they're also warning us that all sorts of other people might be replicants, right?
No. I added that to underscore their foolishness.
Okay, I was going to say it'd be awesome if all the other replicants, if like all of a sudden I went home and my wife was replaced with a Ruth Bader Ginsburg lookalike.
No, okay, you know. the thrust of this conspiracy theory was that, you know, she had cancer surgery. She had serious medical issues, and she hadn't been seen in public since December, and so people were saying, you know, if she was actually dead,
right,
liberals really tell us, you know.
I get it.
I
think the most disturbing
which
part...
Which is ridiculous, but whatever.
I think the most disturbing part about this story is that somebody who actually worked in the cabinet is supporting this.
Well, to be fair, it is Sebastian Gorka.
I don't know what that means.
He's kind of a loon.
He's kind of, what was he doing in there anyway?
Yes, it is scary that he worked in the cabinet. He was there for a relatively short time, although everyone in the cabinet was there for a relatively short time.
Yeah, I guess by that argument, that's true. And then YouTube videos pulling this stuff out. That's pretty interesting. This is sort of...
That kind of freaks me out, actually.
Well, this is the social media push against Russian involvement, right?
And
which
so I don't
now
mind,
they've expanded it to this...
Here's my thing. I like this policy, but I don't like that YouTube, which is basically a corporate monopoly,
right? Yeah,
is the one making these decisions. Like, if anyone has to make decisions about what happens on about people's ability to share and create content, I mean, it should be the government. At least we can vote for them. But it shouldn't be anybody.
I agree. I think it's really shady that people put out, like, fake cures for people who are, like, dying.
I think that's really shady.
But I also think it's shady that YouTube apparently knows which cures work and which ones don't. I think that's a little bit weird.
Yeah, they're making the determination. And to a certain extent, I'm like, okay, if you claim, you know, 9/11 was an inside job or there's, you know, ginseng cures cancer or something crazy like that. There are obvious things, but really the classic problem with this is where do you draw the line? There's always going to be gray area things, and I imagine it won't be long before we start hearing about them.
Yeah, well, I think this is something that our country falls victim to on a regular basis, and that is fixing the symptom instead of the problem.
Mm-hmm.
The problem is people are stupid. And they go onto YouTube and they read stuff and they believe it.
Yeah.
You know, check your sources. All I'm asking people to do is check your sources. You know, I think last week I was talking about how my wife has decided to chase back any crappy comments that are on any social media. And 9 out of 10 times she finds out that these crappy comments are coming from bots or people from other countries that have no profile whatsoever.
Right, they're just, you know, building up.
And it's crazy, you know, but people are putting all of this investment, you know, on the business show that I do. We were talking about how like 60% of people get their news from social media.
Yeah.
And it's insane. True. How do you get your news from other people who aren't news reporters? Like, I realize that we're all opposed to the media, but, you know, get out there and fix the media. Find media that's support worthy.
Right.
But don't expect your next-door neighbor, Chuck, to have the cure for cancer, because Chuck doesn't have the cure for cancer. He's in the same boat you are.
You don't know Chuck Chauncey.
I guess I don't.
I trust this guy.
And then Canadian UFO sightings, well, that's, you know, that's the population of Canada is 36 million, so that's like 1 in 10 a day. I mean, 1 in 10 million Canadians see a UFO a day. That's crazy.
Yeah. It is pretty crazy. And, I mean, to be fair, UFO sightings, 99% are always going to be, you know, just unidentified objects that could be identified if
maybe
they were seen by someone else.
Yeah, maybe they're here for ICE. Maybe the aliens are here for ICE.
Yeah.
You know, because I constantly see on the news, it shows the north of the United States and they're just all death blizzards. And then up above that, that's Canada. They just live in a death blizzard. They're totally fine with it.
We're like a galactic 7-Eleven. They're just like stopping in. It's like, my fridge is busted. Let me suck up this glacier.
All right. So tonight's guest, Lon Strickler.
Yes.
And
we are talking about
Mothman. Kara's favorite cryptid. And so I'm pretty kind of excited to learn about this because I view Mothman as being one of those cryptids with, you know, not a lot of meat on its
bones.
Careful
what you say, Chauncey.
Not a lot of meat on its bones.
Yeah, okay. Well, I like them anyway.
You know?
Yeah, all right.
All right. So you are listening to Radio Wasteland. And when we come back, we are talking Mothman.
The beast in me is caged by frail and fragile bars. Restless by day and by night, rants and rages at the stars. God help the beast in me.
Hi, this is Chuck Kinney of Shasta Gas Propane. Our company motto is, our customers are warm friends. We are demonstrating our commitment to this motto by helping those in our area that lost their homes in the car fire and are moving onto their property in an RV during the rebuilding process. We can hook up a 120-gallon propane tank to your RV gas system and deliver gas to your property so you won't have to disconnect your 7-gallon cylinder and take it somewhere to get it filled, then reconnect it and relight your pilots. We will deliver and connect the tank at no charge, then discount the price of the propane. Give us a call at 365-3793. That's 365-3793. We want to help you during this stressful time.
Alan Gordon, Coachmaster Collision. She had minor damage to her rear bumper. I wrote her an estimate. Later, I received a call. The lady responsible for the damage wanted to pay for the repairs out of pocket. Her insurance agent told her a claim would raise her rates for years. With our experience in the claim process, I explained to her most insurance companies would forgive a claim if the cost was below a minimum amount. I suggested she contact her insurance agent and have them review her policy. She called back very excited. It appeared her policy did extend forgiveness. They would pay for the repairs, and she wouldn't be charged with a claim or have to pay a deductible. The accident would not cost her a thing. She was very pleased. Good thing the vehicle owner came to the right place for repairs. We all pay a lot for insurance. Choosing Coachmaster will ensure you get the most for your money. Let this experience work for you. And yes, if we can't fix it, no one can.
Learn more online at CoachmasterAutobody.com.
Purpose-driven banking. That's the vision behind the founding of Five Star Bank in 1999. Services inspired by partnership and defined by shared vision and goals. Five Star Bank, a champion of local economic development and community stewardship. Your success is their success. Now that's smart people doing good business. In a world that's both more connected and more isolated by high tech, Five Star Bank brings you a personal touch to small business banking, cash management, and online services. Five Star Bank, consistently rated among the very best by industry associations, rating agencies, and of course, customers and partners just like you. Your partner in success is Five Star Bank. FiveStarBank.com. Visit your local branch at 358 Hartnell in Reading. Progressive, professional, personal. That's Five Star Bank. Equal housing lender, member FDIC.
When the party's just live, and it's getting better, it was a project for the 4-H Club. But
all right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland. And our guest, Lon Strickler, we're talking about Mothman and his book, Mothman Dynasty, Chicago's Winged Humanoids. Lon, do we have you there with us?
I'm here.
All right. Well, this has been a topic that we've been pretty excited about. Kara, my co-host here, we've had a lot of talks about cryptids, mm-hmm. and this is easily her favorite cryptid. So we're
I'm kind of a Mothman evangelical. I want everyone to know about Mothman. So this is the first time we've actually had a guest who's actually an expert on the show, although we have talked about it a little before. So I'm pretty excited. Yeah.
So I'll start out asking you, why. Why Mothman? You know, what got you interested in Mothman as opposed to anything else?
Well, this kind of fell into my lap. We started getting reports. Well, the earliest reports came in 2011. August, September, and October, there were mm-hmm. three separate reports in the southwest part of Chicago. People were describing this thing as a winged humanoid, and people were saying it kind of reminded them of the Mothman of Point Pleasant. Well,
right. And that was in the 50s, right?
I don't know if that's a fact, but I mean, that's what people were saying. So what happened was, after that occurred, and I've been looking into this phenomenon for a lot of years. I mean, I had an encounter in 1988 in Pennsylvania that may have well been a winged humanoid, but you know, this is just something that's, it's part of what I do. I've been reporting cryptids and the paranormal for almost 40 years now. Been investigating, and, you know, I've been writing a blog since 2005. Well, anyway, in 2017, there was a report of a winged humanoid in Oz Park in Chicago. This was reported on the MUFON CMS, and the witness was an attorney who was walking her dog at night. She came across this being that was standing in the park, about 7 foot tall, she said. It had structures that were in, on its back that were higher than, you know, the top of its head. And when it turned to look at her, it had bright red eyes. The dog cowered behind her, and this thing just jettisoned into the air without unfurling its wings. And when it got to a certain apex, it took off and started screaming. That was the first recent sighting.
That's terrifying.
And since then, there have been several sightings throughout Chicago. I'd say we had about 55 sightings in Chicago and its suburbs in 2017. And at this point, we have been picking up sightings from southern Wisconsin, central and northern Indiana, and other parts of Illinois. And right now, we are up to 78 sightings.
Man, that is a lot of sightings. So in Chicago, is this something that's sort of like a buzz for the people in Chicago, or is this still on the outskirts of most people's thoughts?
Well, it was kind of... you know, the press kind of laid off of it, and when Vice.com picked up the story of one of the sightings, that's when it started picking up some steam. At that point, I was getting ready to write a book about the sightings. So, you know, I had talked to Vice earlier, and plus other news outlets in Chicago. And, of course, I did a lot of radio shows as well. So it started picking up. We were getting sightings. And, in fact, I was getting most of the sighting reports, though I had a team that was also getting reports. I had some investigators in the Chicago area. And, you know, our cumulative sightings were the ones that we reported on. And, you know, but, you know, God knows how many people saw something and never reported it.
Yeah.
Right, I see. So, you know, it seems to me like of all the cryptids, you said you've been reporting on cryptids for years, it seems to me like Mothman is one that really sort of carries the most amount of supernatural connotations to it, because it seems just so odd. You know, everything else on the planet, You know, we've all evolved in a way, and there's the arms and there's the tree, and we can see how things evolve. And so Bigfoot makes some sort of evolutionary sense. But Mothman, to me, it's like it seems almost supernatural. You know, what are your takes on that?
Well, there's no real indigenous rhyme or reason for this thing. The sightings in Point Pleasant in 66 and 67 were of a insectoid type winged humanoid that had wings like a moth, basically. Now there were some variations, but it had the red eyes, the small stunted head, but it seemed to be very aggressive. And there were approximately 30 sightings before the eventual Silver Bridge collapse just before Christmas in 67, and 46 people died as a result of that of the bridge failure. And the Mothman was supposedly seen before the event, and it was kind of called the harbinger or a portent of doom. and was kind of blamed for the eventual disaster. Now, I don't really buy into that. And in fact, when these sightings in Chicago started, there were, of course, people asking about whether this is a harbinger or some type. And of course, I can't answer that. But, you know, be quite honest with you, back in when it got to around July and August of 2017, I was literally getting 20 to 25 phone calls each day and night from just regular citizens in the Chicago area that were worried that they were going to face some type of disaster. So I was really getting, I was really on my toes that 2 months.
I always thought with these Point Pleasant sightings that the connection of the Harbinger and the catastrophe, I always thought it was like a little bit loose, and it was a little odd that people made this connection. It was kind of like, witch trial-y. It was a little too panicky to make the connection out of. I always thought it was a little bit weird that people would say, oh, we saw this thing and that's why the bridge fell. I don't know. It seems a little ready to burn Frankenstein or something, you know.
Point Pleasant and the environs, I mean, Point Pleasant is a fairly small town. And when you get a disaster that killed 46 of the residents, people invariably got to blame it on something. And I guess it was kind of excuse as to what happened. And in fact, the official report eventually came out that there had been bolts that had been rusted. But, you know, it was basically that when these winged beings show up, it's supposed to be like a precursor to a disaster. And, you know, there have been other disasters where people said they have seen winged humanoids. Chernobyl was one. The Fukushima nuclear disaster, people said they were seeing these flying beings. So, you know, I guess you can take it with a grain of salt. But, you know, so far in Chicago, we really haven't seen any type of disasters and such that can be attributed to the sighting of these beings.
Yeah, well, that would explain why it moved to Chicago. Apparently, it got a bad rap, you know, because, like,
didn't like the small town environment.
Right,
you know?
You know, it's like, I'm getting blamed. I tried to warn these people, and now they're getting all pissed. You know, they want to kill me. Lon, we're coming up on break here, so let's plug your book for a second. And where can people find your book? A reminder to people, the book is called Mothman Dynasty, Chicago's Winged Humanoids. Where can people buy that?
No, they can get it on Amazon. All they got to do is search my name, Lon Strickler, and it'll come up.
Sounds good. All right. You are listening to Radio Wasteland, and our guest, Lon Strickler. We're talking about Mothman. Come on back.
I got a monster in my closet. Someone's underneath my bed. The wind's knocking at my window. I kill it, but it's already dead. It came to the midnight hour to come. To touch me for the whole afternoon. It just sits there and stares.
after the fires, the odds are that your HVAC system is now loaded with ash and contamination that will fill your house every time you start your heating system in the weeks ahead. Now's the time to get that ductwork cleaned and sanitized for your family's health. For more than a quarter century, Clean Air Duct Cleaning has been giving homeowners peace of mind every time their system comes on. Right now, Chris is offering up to 12 vents cleaned for $250. Get all the details at 356-4435. That's 356-4435.
Shasta Regional Medical Center is located in the heart of downtown Reading and was the recipient of the 2017 HealthGrades Patient Safety and Excellence Award. Our hospital is committed to always providing exceptional care and performance as a certified chest pain center, certified primary stroke center, and most recently earning the Joint Commission's Gold Seal of Approval for hip and knee replacement. When it comes to quality, compassion, and community, Shasta Regional Medical Center is the community choice.
Founded in 1995, GI Pathology is the only physician-owned laboratory in the United States dedicated solely to the practice of gastrointestinal and liver pathology. The company provides the highest quality GI pathology diagnosis made exclusively by one of our fellowship-trained gastrointestinal and liver pathologists. GI Pathology delivers results to its Northern California client base within an industry-leading 24 hours. Call 888-2-GI-PATH or go to www.gipath.com for more information.
The value of banking local comes in being able to walk into the lobby, see the president, and be called by your first name. Knowing that lending decisions are made locally by people you call neighbor or serve alongside when supporting a worthy cause. There's confidence in knowing that when you place your trust in Cornerstone Community Bank, you not only help yourself, you support the town you call home. Stop by one of our Reading or Red Bluff branches or visit us online at bankcornerstone.com. Cornerstone Community Bank, we invite you to experience how we are moving local dreams forward.
This Christmas, give the gift of down-home comfort food and treat yourself as well. Buy $25 in gift cards from Black Bear Diner and get $5 in Bear Bucks for your own post-holiday meal. Gift cards are the perfect gift. What better way to send your love than a cozy home-style experience? Stop by Black Bear Diner on Hilltop Drive. Open Christmas and New Year's. Don't forget, you can enjoy your favorite comfort food at home. Order online at blackbeardiner.com, pick up, or have it delivered.
Black Bear Diner.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? Every week, there's a new chapter. To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program, Sunday morning at 9 a.m. on KCNR 1460 AM, with your hosts, Wynn Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
I'm excited to announce my new radio show that will begin in January right here on Free Fire Radio, KCNR, 1460 AM. My name is Dr. Patricia Bay, and I'm a marriage family therapist with 30-plus years' experience in this field. My show, Therapy in a Nutshell, will feature topics that will help you navigate your life challenges. I will be talking about subjects such as grief and loss, family drama, dealing with adult children with addictions, relationship issues such as affair recovery, betrayal, learning to trust again, and communication basics. My first show will air on Saturday, January 5th at 11 a.m., and we will be talking about simplifying your life. We want to streamline your life, cut out excess anything, excess in our heads, our homes, and in our relationships. Listen in and call with questions or comments. Let's heal the world 1 hour at a time. Therapy in a Nutshell, Saturdays, beginning January 5th at 11 a.m.
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the grab-and-go box stores and come talk to a knowledgeable firearm specialist. The good guys at Bastiani Arms are real gun enthusiasts with 2 full-time gunsmiths on hand 5 days a week. Right now, Bastiani Arms is stocked up on hard-to-find ammo. 30-30, 38 Special, and 44 Magnum. More people than ever are exercising their rights to conceal and carry a firearm. Seth Stoke has over 20 years' experience in firearms and offers CCW classes, women-only CCW classes, and hunter education. Bastiani Arms has everything you need for firearms, and they appreciate you shopping local. Bastiani Arms, on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading. Join the revolution.
Afraid of defeat, green blood and murder.
All right, welcome back to Radio Wasteland and our guest, Lon Strickler. We're talking about Mothman here. Lon, in the first segment there, you talked about one of the things that got you interested in this is you had your own experience in sighting, and that definitely piqued my interest. Can you tell me what your experience was?
Well, this happened in the fall of 1988. I had met up with an old friend that I had gone into Boy Scouts with when I was a kid. So we happened to run into each other, and he was actually a scoutmaster then. And he asked me about something that was going on in the old Camp Conowago campground. And he was telling me that a lot of the kids and their troops and such were being run out of the woods near the campground because of these unknown screams. The kids were freaking out. They were packing up and leaving. So he said he and a friend were going up to the campground that next weekend. He asked if I wanted to tag along. So I said, sure. So the next weekend,
and you said, Lon, and you said, and you said unknown screams. So you all of a sudden were in. That seems terrifying.
Oh, yeah. I wanted to know what that was.
Yeah. All right.
So,
horror movie character logic.
So we got to the camp, the camp, and then we met up and hiked into the woods, and we set up camp along the Conowago Creek. So the first night was pretty uneventful. We each of us had a tent. We had three tents, and though we did hear something walking around in the campsite, though I thought it was probably one of those guys getting up to use a latrine or such, so I didn't really know. But we mentioned it the next morning. So it was a nice day, so we got up and had breakfast and started hiking around the woods and such, and we were out most of the day. Pretty thick woods, too. That time of year is a lot of underbrush. So a lot of wildlife as well. So we get back to the campsite about 6 o'clock in the evening, and we started getting something to eat, sitting around the fire, talking. We were talking about football. And, off and on, I would get up and stretch my legs and walk around. So about 11 o'clock, all of a sudden, this loud scream came from the west, and it was coming in and out. I thought at first it was probably an owl or maybe an eagle, but I didn't know. So it screamed again, and, yeah, this thing sounded like a child screaming. And it had gotten closer, then it kind of faded out again. So we got up and walked around the campsite. We didn't see anything, so we sat back down and started talking some more, trying to figure out what it was that we heard screaming. Well, anyway, I guess around 12:30, 1 o'clock, I got up again to stretch my legs. I walked over by the trail along the creek, and I just had this sense that something was watching us. So I went back to the campfire, and I told those guys, why don't we get up and just walk along the trail a bit, see if we see anything out, So they said, yeah, so we got up and, we didn't walk more than 50 foot away from the campsite. And to the right of us in the creek, and the creek was shallow at this time, and the moonlight was really, really good that night. We saw this being, this whatever, standing in the middle of the creek. It was dark, and it had these red eyes. And by the time we got the flashlights on this thing, it just whooshed up into the air. It jettisoned like a rocket. And a couple seconds later, we heard it screaming and as it flew away from us and, faded out. So I guess we freaked out a bit. We got back to the campsite. My buddy, he didn't want to stay. He wanted to go up the administration building and spend the night.
I don't blame him.
The other guy was pretty calm. He said, did you notice anything on his back? Which I did, because it kind of looked like there were folded wings on its back. But, you know, I never saw any wings unfurl. And, you know, I said, yeah, I did notice it. And, of course, we all noticed the red eyes. So they went up. The other two guys went up to the administration building and spent the night up there. I wanted to see what was going on, so I stayed around the campsite. But, you know, nothing else happened that night, so I really didn't get a look at it beyond that. Though, when I wrote about this about 20 years later on my blog, I got a comment from a guy who lived at Dick's Dam, which was upstream from the location. And he was telling me he's heard these screams for years. He never knew what it was. And, not long after that, I guess about a month after, I got another email from a scout leader who told me, he said, you know, we were at Camp Conewaga not long ago, and the boys in my troop came running back one early evening and swore up and down that there was a dragon, a 6-foot-tall dragon, standing in the trail, not far from where we were camped at. And they said it was, you know, looked like it had feathers and a tail, but they said it was a dragon. You know, of course he thought they were nuts, or they were just playing games with him. So he kind of dismissed it. He didn't even bother going up to look, see what was going on. Nothing else had happened the rest of the weekend for them. So, but when he saw what I had written, well, then he had second thoughts. He said, well, maybe they did see something. So anyway, the last sighting that we have had along the Conewaga Creek that I know of was about 3 years ago. And from the point along the Conewaga Creek at the campsite, they went to runs along and goes eastbound toward the Susquehanna River. It's about a 20-mile stretch. I've had about 5 sightings over the years.
Really?
Reported to me.
Man, that is a lot. So, you know, that kind of prompts my question. Of these 78 sightings that you're referring to in Chicago, you know, how many of those do you think are credible?
That's just the ones I think are credible.
Oh, I see. Oh, wow.
Wow.
That is a lot of sightings.
I mean, there were several that we didn't even bother with. I mean, you know, there weren't many. I tell you, the one thing about these sightings and the reports, and look, we got them from all over the city, all over the region, you know, all races, creeds, everything. I mean, this is, you know, they run the gamut as far as people that made reports. And some people are closer than others. Some had very close encounters. And, but they, people just didn't embellish on the story, which is unusual. You know, normally when you get somebody to call you or send a report in, and then when you talk to them, the second time, you know, that they communicate with is sometimes, most times, there's some type of embellishment, or they say, well, I remember this that I forgot about, or something like that.
I see.
But
like
this thing left such a great impression on them that even when I tried to prod them to elaborate on their story, they wouldn't do it.
I see.
That's amazing.
So, yeah, that adds to the credibility if they're consistent and, you know.
I mean, how much embellishing do you need to do if you've seen a 7-foot creature with red eyes and wings?
Yeah, like, well, I mean,
you know,
that sticks in your mind.
The sightings themselves, the early sightings were of a Mothman-like being. Then, subsequently, we got 2 or 3 sightings that were described like an owlman or a lacusa. They were all 6-foot, 7-foot tall. Hmm. Some had the red eyes. We had wingspans of anywhere from 10 to 12 foot. But I'd say 95% of the sightings since then have been the bat-like or gargoyle-like wings, which really isn't anything indicative of what people saw in Point Pleasant. But the Mothman moniker kind of stuck to people.
Right.
And, well, it's, you know, you'll see too many winged humanoid sightings around, especially in a major city like Chicago.
Yeah, and it's easy for people to fill in the blanks when they're looking in the dark.
Sure.
All right, you're listening to Lon Strickler. We're coming up on break time. We're talking about Mothman. So, you know, come on back, and we got some more questions for him.
Join Aaron Ryan and Bill Cundiff for We the People Radio every Sunday from noon to 2.
Our interviews on them give you the whole story rather than the mainstream media soundbites.
Here on KCNR 1460 AM, we've got the experts on politics, environmental craziness, veterans affairs, property rights, Agenda 21, foreign affairs, and everything in between.
The archives are always available online at wethepeopleradio.us.
It's the most fun you can have while talking about them.
Join Aaron and Bill this Sunday at noon for We the People. You'll hear great authors and commentators, professors and scientists, activists and military experts, researchers and whistleblowers, all spending time to inform us about their areas of expertise. We the People, brought to you by Team Power of Shasta Lake, your local Kubota and John Deere dealer. Call him at 530-226-9226. We the People on AM 1460 KCNR.
This Chamber of Commerce Minute is brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning.
Becoming a member of the Greater Reading Chamber of Commerce is probably the smartest investment a local business can make. It would be impossible for a company on its own to duplicate the benefits of a chamber membership in the areas of legislative advocacy, workforce development, and economic development, not to mention all of the networking opportunities and business seminars offered. Join a committee, become an ambassador, attend a networking event, then watch your investment in business take off. Join today by calling 225-4433 and get connected.
This moment's been brought to you by Maui Bob's Office Cleaning, professional cleaning services, 221-5868. Why not get the best?
As gun laws continue to tighten up across the country, Bastiani Arms will continue to provide our community with quality firearms, hard-to-find ammo, off-list fully built AR lower receivers, and the absolute best customer service. Get out of the gun stores and call a specialist. Real gun, hard-to-find, 30, 30, and 40 more people than ever are XXX on the corner of Larkspur Lane and Wall Street in Reading.
You here long without asking you
the big question.
The big question. What you think it might be. Speculative and stuff like that, but you know, what are you speculating?
Personally, I believe it is flesh and blood. I believe there have been at least three of these beings in the Chicago area, maybe more, but I believe that is most likely a interdimensional being. It's something that's coming through from another reality. Which is the same thing I believe the Mothman at Point Pleasant was. And, you know, we've had these winged humanoid sightings worldwide, but those I have investigated in the United States and Canada, they all seem to be something that's fleeting, comes in and out, and is not indigenous, and then just doesn't live on our Earth plane. We have had two witnesses, one in Chicago and another in Rockford, Illinois, who stated to us that they saw this winged being literally disappear like it was going through a gateway.
That would explain the big time differences in the sightings, I guess.
Yeah, I guess, but you know, there are a lot of variables. As far as these sightings, some of them were more localized, as opposed to some of the others. Then some, like you said, some of them were a great distance away of other sightings. So, yeah, that very well may be it, but I just don't think this thing resides on our Earth plane. And for whatever reason, why it's coming here, is it being summoned for some reason, it's all, like you said, it's all speculative. And, the team I work with, everybody seems to have their own theory on this. And if you get the book, each of my team members has included their theory on what it is as well. But, that's the theory I'm sticking with at this point until it's proven otherwise to me.
What about intelligence? Do you think it's like a sentient like us, or do you think it's like an animal, or any idea there?
Well, that's hard to tell. I mean, it does seem instinctive, but who knows what that means. I mean, there may be some type of higher intelligence. It may be controlled somehow. I just don't know. And because of the sightings and the things that we have gotten from witnesses, it's kind of difficult to make a determination.
Yeah, I figured. But the reason why I ask is because, like, if it is like an animal and it is interdimensional, you know, maybe it's passing through on accident.
Yeah.
You know, there have been a lot of speculation that Bigfoot is interdimensional, or even the Loch Ness Monster is traveling through time accidentally through portals. Mm-hmm. And, so I was just kind of throwing the possibility out there that it's accidentally coming here and going back.
Well, I think most cryptid sightings, those that cannot be proven to be indigenous, are interdimensional beings. There's a lot of connection with Bigfoot sightings as far as UFO activity and other paranormal anomalies. I think when you look at the big picture, a lot of this stuff is tied together.
Yeah, I think so too. Is there any, like with other cryptids, you know, some is nefarious, some is questionable, some is pretty good, but is there any physical evidence that we know of Mothman, or is it all sightings?
No, it's all anecdotal. We've had some indiscernible photographs, because of the fleeting nature of this thing, or it shows up at night, it's hard to get a photograph.
Right.
But no, you know, it's just, we just do not have anything but anecdotal evidence.
But a lot of anecdotal evidence,
right,
to be fair.
Oh, there's a lot of it out there. And it varies, too. I mean, you know, it's not like you're a cookie-cutter explanation or description. Even though most of the sightings are very similar, there tends to be some variations. And people who report it stick with what they tell me. And, I've gone back and talked to a lot of these witnesses afterwards, and they just have not changed their story.
So do you think that there's any sort of a correlation or relation between Mothman and the Jersey Devil?
No.
No?
No, I can't really find one. And in fact, the Jersey Devil is kind of hard to take too serious, I believe. I mean, there have been, the sightings of this being that people call the Jersey Devil, they actually really started down in Maryland and in Delaware and moved up toward New Jersey and went into the Pine Barrens. Whatever that is people are seeing, you know, it may be a winged humanoid or a type of winged cryptid. But then again, we've got very little evidence of this thing. And there seems to be more folklore behind it than anything else.
I see. All right, well, we're coming up on the end here, so let's talk a little bit about your blog, phantomsandmonsters.com. You've been running it since, I think you said, 2005?
Yeah, I've been doing a daily blog since 2005. It's I've got a free subscription to people who want it in their email. Right now, we've got about 30,000 subscribers, daily subscribers. Plus, we have the feed. I'm on Facebook, so a lot of the social media is connected to it. And I also do a radio show at Arcane Radio.
And where can they find the radio show?
They can go to ParanormalKing.com, or they can go to my website at Phantoms and Monsters and click on the Arcane Radio banner. And the podcasts are accessible from there.
And if you would, remind our audience where they can get their hands on your book. Actually, I will do it for you. You can get it at Amazon.com. And the book is called Mothman Dynasty, Chicago's Winged Humanoids. And you got quite a few other books up here as well, Cryptid Encounters, Unexplained Encounters. Really, Lon, it has been a lot of fun talking to you, especially on this topic, because, you know, this is something that we really knew nothing about, yet we always talk about it because, I don't know, it's in a world of mystery, it's extra mysterious.
Yeah.
Well, I agree with that. I mean, it's something that's been an enigma to me all these years, but hopefully we're getting closer to getting an explanation.
I agree. All right, Lon, well, thank you very much for being on the show. You've been listening to Lon Strickler here on Radio Wasteland. Don't forget to check out his website, phantomsandmonsters.com, and also check us out on the next show.
News from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.